he works for a beer company, so we were borrowing their van. And, well, I was about a 30-pack deep when I went to go help him. So there's a picture of me passed out laying on the concrete. I'd fallen out of that van. My feet were still up in the passenger side.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Funk for Profit was named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core, with Funk for Fun you will not snore. Banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew, growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to some summer fun on the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
Welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for spending your summer with us. Thanks again for telling all your friends and family. We really appreciate the support that you have and for suggesting some really cool guests, because that's where this one came today, Corey.
Absolutely. We've got a great review.
Oh, yeah.
That we need to read.
That's right. From Gearinghoff, courtesy of Gearinghoff. Today's Head of the Class Listener Reviews brought to you by Gearinghoff. They are the head of the class no matter the crop. Premium harvesting heads for all your harvesting needs. Our listener reviews are exactly what it takes to fuel our energy each week, and Gearinghoff is exactly what you need to maximize your harvest each year.
This week's is from Brian Adams. Find him on TikTok. He's a great follow out in Ohio, I believe. We'll probably have him on at some point, I would imagine, on the show. I know he's on the list.
Yeah,
Brian says, just listened to the Thomas Farms episode. Really enjoyed it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, we appreciate that. So. And keep them coming. Just to you, if you leave a review, you never know. It might be one of yours that gets read on an episode. Dave, excellent. We also had brought Kimberly Ag just last week, and learned a little bit about their family-owned business and what they've got going on. Focusing on making sure they have the right equipment that meets your needs. He doesn't ever want to sell you anything that you can't use. So we really want to thank them again for their support of the podcast. Like I said, local, but service is covering a large territory.
Interesting how they went from farming to realizing there was a gap to service the farming industry.
Mm-hmm. And they've got what you need, and they do not lack in service. They will drive through the night to get to you the next day if they have to.
Yeah, I can speak for that firsthand. Even if we break down, it seems like the father-in-law is really good at losing the right end snouts.
Yeah.
And he's always got them in stock.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, that's the one that's always by the fence.
Yep. I swear it doesn't matter if he's by the fence or not. It just gets ripped off. But also, don't forget, they've got a field day coming up in September.
Yeah, so the 15th and 16th.
Mark it on the calendar. Come down here. If you are going to come, let them know, but then let us know. So maybe we can hang out as well.
So this week's guest that we have is a little bit special, and I am not going to do the introduction again, and it's going to be on Dave's shoulder.
Oh, boy.
Because, A, you need a redemption from the last time that you
tried it. It was bad. It was bad.
And I think you have about 30 seconds more of practice.
On this one.
On this one, so right. We'll see. It should be good.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
All right, our next guest on the Farm for Fun podcast today, I tell you what, he's got more pearl snap shirts than the doggone boot barn. I mean to tell you, this guy's serviced more heifers than a Jiffy Lube on Thursday and a May on Thursday night. Oh boy, I tell you what, he's got a backside like George Strait and a front end like a D10 loader. I mean to tell you, this guy, he is better than dog. He's got a mustache, doggone, that's better than Burt Reynolds with the Trans Am. He is an easy keeper. I tell you what, he is the kind, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a 10-pound birth weight with a 25-year weight of 250 and a calving ease of -1. You bet. I tell you what, now stay tuned. mentioned here. He's one of the sexiest farmers on TikTok, and he knows how to use his hay poker. I tell you what. What are you going to do here? What are you going to do here? You bet. All right, here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he is out driving a grain cart today. He is single, ladies. And now, what are you going to give here? How about 100 here? 100. Now, 2. Now, 3. 100. 3, 4. Here, didn't pull, but I've ordered it. 105,000 followers on TikTok, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, he is the kind. He's from Harrisburg, Nebraska. Mr. Regan Streaks. How are you doing, Regan?
All right.
Woo! All right, I'm fired. You're hired. That was good. That was good.
I'm sweating for Dave.
I'm sweating. Is it just hot in here, period? But
it might be.
Dang, that was awesome. Welcome, Regan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
So you're out in the grain cart right now. Give us a little bit of background about yourself.
I grew up farming and ranching. I've been involved in agriculture of some kind my whole life. And my granddad and I, we used to farm together, and then he retired, and we both leased our cows out. So now somebody else takes care of my cows and does all the work, and I just collect the check, and then I work outside for other people, and that's what I'm doing right now. I work for a guy in the summertime that farms around 7,000 acres, and then in the wintertime, I'm usually feeding calves in the feedlot or helping somebody calf cows or something.
That doesn't sound like such a bad gig. If you got them cows leased out and you get to go have fun doing farm stuff and collect a check on your stuff while you're at it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be guaranteed a check to go to work, and then we cost share the cows and everything, so I'm almost guaranteed a check with them too. I mean, I still take some of the risk, but it's not as much as if I was running them myself.
So you have absolutely blown up on the old farm talk TikTok. I know when I first saw you, I think you had like 10,000 followers or something like that. And then you come out with these auction chants, kind of like David did for the introduction. Where did that come from? Are you an auctioneer as well, or do you just have that talent?
No, the funny thing about the auctioneering deal is I've auctioned a few estate sales just here and there. And that was just because I told a guy that I wanted to auctioneer, and he said, well, I'll get you involved in that. Well, then he retired from that, so that kind of ended that deal. But it all started 2015. I went on wheat harvest with a harvest crew. So we went down. We were 10 miles north of Texas when we started. So I had a lot of time in the tractor, and I always wanted to do it. So I started watching a few YouTube videos here and there, just kind of messing around with it. And just through a lot of practice and everything, I can do it today because of that, I guess. But as far as auctioneering, no, I don't. I should probably do it, but I don't.
Maybe you can get him to one of your classes there, Dave.
Come out to Western. Come to Montana when you're there. We'll put you through auction school. It'll be fun.
Dave just got back from competing. Is it Nationals? Is that what it's called?
Yep, the International Auctioneers Championship, and it was in Minneapolis this year.
And we are in the presence of a top 10 qualifier. Is that correct?
You bet. I think I made top 5. I thought I'd give one of my best goes ever. I thought I'd won it. Good friend of mine that I teach auction school with in Montana won it, so I think I'm top 5.
Well, congratulations to you. That's no small feat, and congratulations to your buddy, because I'm assuming was well-deserved.
Is this the one where you brought in something to auction yourself?
They actually supply them. I hope they do. It costs $1,500 to enter, so you Holy better think you're pretty God. Good if you're going to enter that deal. Well, so
you must not have bought anything for me.
No, I was going to buy us a laptop for the old podcast here, but we didn't get her done.
So what did you auction off?
I got to auction off a microphone for other auctioneers to buy, a cappuccino machine. That's one of the things I got to auction off, and then oh, there was a little nightlight thing too as well. So they give you some that are hard, some that are easy. You just got to come up and sell them somehow. So,
gotcha.
Yep. So Regan, you represent, I didn't even fit it into the intro. I had this perfect line. He's the Rockin' R Cross Cattle. And I was going to say, I tell you what, he likes them black-hided, white-hided, red-hided. It doesn't matter. I tell you what, he likes them inbred. He likes them any kind of bread. Hell, he likes white bread too. So I was going to go that route. Tell me about your Rockin' R Cross Cattle brand.
Obviously, you have a brand registered with the state. and that's how you mark your cows. So that's just what it is. It's just a R with a quarter circle underneath, and then it's got a cross out to the side. And most people, when they see Rockin' R Cross Cattle Company, they think it's because I run crossbred cattle that the cross cattle is on there. And in all reality, it's just part of my brand. It's not really I do run crossbred cattle, but that's, like I say, it's my brand. It's not because of that.
So are you just doing feeder cattle in a feedlot? Are you cow-calf or backgrounding them? Or what exactly is your cattle operation?
I have cow-calf pairs. And then, like I say, I feed calves for a guy in the wintertime. So he backgrounds calves, and he's got a cow-calf operation. And then some of my other neighbors that have cow-calf operations, I help them calve if needed. I just basically work for my neighbors around me and then trying to get my own deal going. So
nice.
Grass in this country is hard to come by. So it was fortunate that the guy that runs my cows, he's a good friend of mine, neighbor, and he didn't even really have enough grass for his own cows, but he said, you know what, you're young, you're trying to get started, I'll take them on, and we'll figure it out from there. And he's had them for, 3-4 years now, and it's worked out pretty good for both of us.
Speaking of grass, how is the growing season going out there in western Nebraska? You guys getting enough rain?
We've been getting some timely rains. It's still green, believe it or not, but it's drying up fast. We always need more rain.
Is the wheat running average or above average?
Oh, it's running about 40, 50 bushels the acre, which them guys back east are going to laugh at that. But we that's pretty good for out here for farming beach sand and only having all this whole year. We probably maybe had 10 inches of rain, if that, 10 inches of moisture. So I'd say it's doing fairly good for that.
Seems like a long ways away from an ocean to have beach sand.
Yeah, I know it, but this blow sand out here, if you don't, a lot of people don't understand why we strip farm out here. You know, we'll have a wheat strip and then a fallow strip and everything, but if you don't do that, then the wind blows it and it erodes your topsoil pretty quick if you don't have it stripped. Like, say, we take a quarter section and out of a quarter section, you could have 12 strips. If you farmed that whole quarter section, it would all be broke out at one time, and it would blow away, and you'd never get a crop up. It's hard enough with the strips to get the wheat to come up in the fall because it never rains, but that's kind of why we strip farm out here.
Probably kind of tough to keep things moist, isn't it?
Moist.
Yeah, it is. That's going to tick some people off. There's a lot of people don't like that word.
Moist.
Oh, I never even thought of that. So what makes the word moist so polarizing?
I don't know. That's just...
No, I planted that there because I had seen your TikTok about it, and I can't imagine how much flack you caught for that.
Yeah. No, I really didn't catch any flack from other people. It was mostly from people that I know that don't like it, and they said that they didn't appreciate it.
That's half the fun.
Don't watch it then.
Yeah, that's half the fun of, you know, people don't like the word moist, so you just say it more often now because it's a word. Get over it.
Right. Right. So what was the beginning? Yeah. What was the beginning to TikTok for you, Regan? What got you started out there?
You know, one of my good friends, his first name's Wyatt. He got started doing it, and he put me on there. I was helping him irrigate over in where Scott's Bluff is. We call that the valley. That's where all the irrigated farmers are. And he works for a guy over there, and he's got some videos of me doing irrigation with him, trying to set tubes and gated pipe and stuff. The video of me trying to set tubes was his second highest viewed video. So I thought, well, if they liked me on that, then I just, well, get in on this. And I started out just talking about the cattle industry and what we do, and trying to educate people on the oh, that not everybody's a bad guy that, you know, that PETA puts out on Facebook or whatever. We all try and do it right. It's just a few bad apples that ruin it for the rest of us. And that's kind of how I started. And then I just got the idea when I was feeding cows one day to start doing this auctioneer deal. And it just kind of blew up from there.
Would you attribute the auctioneer chanting to your to where you're at now?
Yes, very much so. if I would have kept on with the cattle deal, I probably wouldn't have got as big as I did. There's a select few people that want to hear about the cattle industry and really care about it, but that window's pretty small. So if you can, you know, get something to grab somebody's attention and then kind of feed that other information in there along the way, then it kind of helps a little bit. But if you get that attention getter, then they're like, hey, you know, this guy's non-political and he says stuff that's funny. We're going to follow him. And like I say, then you can kind of sprinkle the other stuff in there. But
yeah, Regan, we got to interrupt here. I feel bad, listeners. I didn't even think about this till Dave just asked me. But our summer fun series, like I said, our Farm for Fun is usually supported by Dahl.
It is supported by Dahl today, and it is Busch Light.
Busch Light. So it's hard. I didn't even think about doing a review on the old Busch Light. Corey, why don't you describe these beautiful cans we got sitting right here in front of us?
It is a cob of corn, individual kernels on a cob. You can see like the little leaf shut going up the side that's green. The original Busch Light with the white mountains,
for
light blue background.
The farmers.
Oh, yeah. It's smooth. It's good. It's refreshing. It's Iowa water.
It's beautiful. So, yes, we'll have more flavors coming up for you, but today we're drinking the good stuff.
Look at the marketing. Even the barcode has the mountains.
It does. Top says, for the farmers, show me your bush.
So, yeah. Hopefully, Regan, you get to enjoy a beer here before the end of your day. I don't know what the boss says about doing it in a grain cart, but you're probably going to deserve one by the time you're done, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually... I've actually kind of quit drinking, so I've maybe had 6 beers this whole month.
Well, good for you.
It's good.
We might have that before the end of the show.
Yeah. So he's recording this while driving around a grain cart in a field. Can you imagine like the skill that takes?
And wheat harvest.
It's getting not like yelled at from the combine driver and truck drivers. And
it's not like you're jumping on a corn row and staying there to keep your distance. He's running in wheat.
Yep.
And today you said they're trying out a new combine, so they don't even have a radio to radio you, right?
Yeah, they're demoing a Claas combine, so we got the salesman all around here, and then one of the other guys, that's he's a mechanic for Claas, actually. He's running our John Deere combine, so we're running 2 high-capacity combines right now, and whereas we usually run 1, so... It's a little bit more running around, but it's nicer. You get to stay in the air conditioner and don't have to turn the tractor off quite so much.
There you go. So are you running draper heads or pickup heads, or how are you guys doing that?
They're running drapers. We have to run drapers out here because there's a larva that gets in the wheat stem called sawfly, and it knocks the wheat down on the outer edges of the field. So it's some of it's laying on the ground, so you got to have a draper to pick that up.
I asked that was because Montana farmer Doug.
Oh, that's right.
I had no idea he does barley, and they got a bunch of combines with pickup heads on them. I'm like, what? You pick it up? So they windrow it for 10 days, and then they pick it up.
That was the same thing for a soft fly, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know if it was a soft. It was some other deal that would get in there, and
right.
If they didn't do that,
it was soft fly. If I remember right, I saw that video too. And that's actually where sawfly came from, was from up north Montana.
Oh, them bastards.
And up there. And it's just moved. It's just progressively moved further south every year. And I think I've even heard reports that it's in Kansas now. So
dang.
It's moving its way down the wheat belt, that's for sure.
That's the cool part. Not only TikTok, but Twitter and Instagram is, I never even would have known about it had I not connected through the podcast, through Farm Talk, through Ag Twitter, to see what's going on. I mean, Corey and I were just talking about, we had a TikTok sent to us this morning that was all about this guy getting hyped up to make a sex video with his girl. And apparently got too excited. Instead of a sex video, it turned out to be a sex GIF.
GIF.
GIF? GIF?
GIF. Yeah.
Jif.
Made a meme out of it.
Yeah. Nice. Just short. Short, sweet.
1.5 seconds.
You see the shuttle that came out? There was a deal with Regis and Kelly in the morning. It used to be Regis and Kelly, and now it's just Kelly. And she's like, did you see that shuttle? Did you see the shape? I mean, I want to go on a rocket now.
Yeah. It was exactly Austin Powers. I mean, perfect.
Yeah, that was Bezos.
Yeah.
Bezos.
The ship that went up there that looked like a penis.
Yeah. What someone called it on the news. I can't remember. Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you see that, Regan? Did you see the shuttle?
I heard about it. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Well, you're going to recognize it when you do see it.
That scene. And what is that, Dad? It looks like a giant wiener. Get your wieners.
I think you could tell. You could totally make something out of that for your TikTok, Regan.
I'll guarantee it. So did you?
Yeah, those Austin Power movies are pretty great.
Did you do? Did you ever get into the beer poster challenge? Are you doing one of those?
Yeah, I did do one of those. I had. We were helping one of my friends move. We were moving his girlfriend into his house, and he works for a beer company. So we were borrowing their van, and. So it had Angry Orchard apple cider on the side of that van. Well, I was about a 30-pack deep when I went to go help him. So there's a picture of me passed out laying on the concrete. I'd fallen out of that van. My feet were still up in the passenger side. I kind of figured out that if you don't drink near as much and you don't go out and act like a hoodlum at the bar, then you don't have to borrow near as big of an operating note from the bank.
Tanner can appreciate that
as a banker, yeah. Uh-huh.
You're only, what would you say, 25 years old, so you're still young.
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
Learning all your lessons there.
I want to go back to that Bezos rocket ship deal. So not only does it looks like a male member, but I couldn't believe the number of people that were hating on it. I mean, obviously right now there's kind of a mini space race. Yep. Between him and isn't it the guy from the Virgin Airlines?
I can't remember who else is.
The other guy got there. Elon Musk was the other guy.
But then there was another rich guy that's like ultra rich but not very popular.
Yeah. So what I've been seeing mostly on Twitter is there's such a divide between the wealthy and those that are working paycheck to paycheck, and they're complaining that it shouldn't be that wide of a divide. Why is there a select few people that are able to go to space, that are able to put so much money into research to go to space, when there's people that are struggling to get food for their kids and put it on the table? And that's where the debate went. It wasn't that this was a successful mission and someone did it privately and they did all this research that could potentially advance technology for space travel. Reverted it all the way back down to equality.
I don't know. There's a lot of good things that come from space. I mean, think of Tang. You know where Tang come from? NASA. I mean, you know, if these people research stuff, well, then even the lower income can drink Tang because we invented it from, you know, NASA.
Well, we're going to have to figure it out. Have you seen all the UFO TikToks that people have been putting out? Like, that stuff? Have you seen those?
No. Are they coming to get us finally?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just people putting them out there to cover up stuff the government's doing. Like, so that's the news for that day. There's a UFO sighting. Huh, I wonder what happened in the government they don't want us to know about.
And Velcro. I just thought about Velcro, too. That came from the space program.
They needed that.
Mm-hmm. Not from UFOs, but the space
program. No, from space.
They could have.
They didn't bring us, so.
Well, yeah, I totally get that. Just a quick little pause here to remind everybody that the Farm for Profit Experience is taking place in Ames, Iowa, December 2nd and 3rd, 2021. So we're going to throw a party. Obviously, if you're listening to this, there is something for everybody. We're going to have people from TikTok there that you can meet. We're going to have people from Twitter and Instagram that you can meet. But if you don't do social media and you hang out with us, the whole point is all these people are going to be in this room together. They all farm. They're all related to agriculture. And this is where you can come and network and have a good time. A couple of free meals, hopefully some free drinks. But ultimately, we're finally going to get back doing this again. Obviously, we took 2020 off for COVID. So I'm excited to have the event put back together.
Yeah, the people that you want to meet, the people that you want to hang out with is going to be there. The networking is going to be off the charts. And then you're going to have awesome experience of learning, too. So
that's why we're calling it an experience. It's not a conference anymore. There will be educational presentations. There will be opportunities to learn, yes.
Live music, probably.
But I think the hanging out and getting to ask other farmers that aren't your direct neighbor how they're doing things is probably going to be the most valuable.
So it's the Farm for Profit meetup. TikTok meetup. Yeah. Yep.
Come in, have an experience, hang out. So we'll get more information out there, but didn't want you to forget December 2nd and 3rd.
And for sure, that first day is in the Sukup end zone.
That's correct.
At Jack Trice Stadium. That's huge. That's pretty awesome.
Go Clones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Regan, you're out there messing around. We're in here messing around. I had seen a TikTok about a massive injury that you had experienced. What happened to that little spot by your eye?
Oh, I...
the Angry Orchard bus.
I don't even remember how old I was. I wasn't very old, and my grandpa had a dog that didn't like kids, and everybody knew. They said, you know, Grandpa, from the time all of us grandkids were really little, he said, stay away from Gus. He growls at you. He'll bite you. Well, I just happened to step out of the car. We'd gotten back from somewhere, and Gus was right there, and he thought that I cornered him, and all I was trying to do was get in the house, and he grabbed a hold of my face. And the gal that sewed me up didn't do a very good job, so I have this gaping scar now, but that's kind of the story behind that.
Yeah, but girls love scars.
Chicks dig scars.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That dog lived to be 23 years old, and as I got older, he got to where he wasn't so growly towards me anymore because I had gotten taller, so he just associated me with an adult. And there towards the end, I could pet him and didn't have a problem.
So where'd you get your sense of humor from?
Oh, I don't. My great-grandpa, he was always kind of messing around with people, and I come from kind of a line of people that like to joke around and mess around, and that's kind of where I got it from. I was always that way. I was always, you can ask anybody I went to school with or any of my teachers, I was always dinking around at school and trying to make people laugh. And there for a little bit, I'd just get in trouble in school just so I could go home and work. And Grandpa, he's the principal, and them, they'd say, you know, don't you have a job that you can give him to where he doesn't want to go home anymore? And he tried and tried. I can tell you numerous jobs that I had to do that weren't real fun, but it was better than sitting in a classroom.
Right.
But then they kind of caught on to that, and then they started making me stay in school and do my homework in school suspension, and I thought, you know what, the hell with this. I'm not doing that no more.
Oh, my. So do you have a favorite TikToker that you like that you follow because they're funny?
Yeah, there's a few people that I follow. There's that Tainted Lyric guy. He's pretty funny. Oh, kind of the whole Farm Talk community, they've kind of caught on to that. So they're always messing with each other. And I actually went down Chad Nordhausen is... handles Chester Keeps It Real. I actually went down and visited him at his place, and he's a pretty cool guy. He kind of does the same thing that I do, has cow-calf pairs and background some calves, and drank a few beers with him. And I guess I shouldn't say I quit drinking completely. I just drink more socially now than I used to. Nope. I guess.
Totally get it. The last question that we always ask our guests before we wrap up is, what do you think the most successful farmers have in common? But before you answer that, we want to remind our listeners that BW Fusion has a solution for every season. Right now, we're looking at potentially getting into doing some fall planting for maybe some meltdown. Probably by the time you hear this, it's too late for some fungicide, but continue to watch some tissue samples. I know we're going to talk with them. From the field segment, getting caught up. But don't forget about BW Fusion and the line of biologicals, microbiologicals.
There might be a little bit of window left for some soybeans, I bet.
Yeah. But don't forget about those guys. But Regan, What do the most successful farmers all have in common?
You know, I just going from my personal experience and the ones that I've been around, they surround themselves with good people, and they're very good businessmen. They're businessmen before they. You can work just as hard as you want to, and it's not ever going to make anything unless you can't make a profit at it. I mean, what I'm getting at is those guys spend more time in the office than they do in the field. If
right.
you can't make your numbers work and you can't, you know, you're not being profitable with it, then there's really no need in doing it because you're just doing it for a hobby at that point and a very expensive one at that.
Yeah. Very, very good answer. So last thing before we let you go, Regan, how can people find you on social media?
My TikTok account is Rockin' R Cross Cattle Company. I do have a YouTube channel that I've started. It's Rockin' R Cross Cattle Company. And then follow me on Facebook if you want. It's just Regan Streaks. I'm not too hard to find. There's not too many other people with that unique of a name. So,
awesome.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today. Hopefully we can get you back to work doing the grain cart operation.
Yeah, yeah. I was just dumping the combine there about 3 seconds ago. So.
Look at you being a multitasker.
We couldn't even tell.
Yeah, yeah. This, you know, everybody makes fun of me for my trucker headset, but I got to say it's a nice thing to have when you're running equipment because you got both hands free and you can still talk to people. And
yep, I got the same thing, and I also got AirPods. I love my AirPods, but you cannot beat the trucker, the Blue Parrot, or you know that style because it has the best background noise canceling. AirPods do not do that. They don't work good in the tractor.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yep, for sure.
Regan, we appreciate you taking some time to jump on the phone with us. It was great getting to know you a little bit better. We had a lot of fun here on another Summer Fun Farm for Profit episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Corey, why don't you get ready to send us out?
Crack a Busch Light. Mix a drink. You deserve it.
Intro music recorded by Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Commentary added by Elena Montemagni. And credit to bensound.com for music.